I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me today for It's a Good Life. Today we're going to look at the subject Christmas, from creation to Bethlehem. We're going to be covering several scriptures today, and I'll give those to you as we go through this study. If you would get your Bible, get something to write with. Now, I would suggest if you're in your car driving, you don't try that. But if you're someplace where you can get something to write with and write on, and your Bible, I would encourage you to do that today. Why not write to me this week, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. If you write me today, I'll be glad to send to you free of charge a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You can also go to our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. You can leave prayer requests there and share with us the needs that you have in your life or the needs of others that you're praying for. We'll be glad to share those prayers with you, with the Lord, and pray that the Lord's will would be done in your life and in the life of those others that you're praying for. Today, we'll start a study on Christmas, from creation to Bethlehem. Now, we're going to cover this in three lessons. And you say, well, how's that possible? Well, we're going to look at several scriptures, and the topics that we're going to cover under this heading of Christmas, from creation to Bethlehem, is going to be come quite apparent to you as we do these studies. There's going to be three of them. First, today, we're going to look at the title of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." Matthew 1:1 says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ." John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, the Old Testament begins with the book of Genesis. Genesis means generations. In Genesis 5:1, it says, "This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." The New Testament begins with the Genesis, or generation, of Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:1 says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And once again in John 1:1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, in commencing the study of any subject, keep this in mind. It's well to know its beginnings, the original intention or plan, and the first step in its history. These we have in the clearest and fullest way as to the earthly life of Christ in Holy Scripture. The foundation had already been laid, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, "Who verily was foreordained," speaking of Jesus, "before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." John 17:24, the Bible says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." And as we look at this, we see that the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit continued on from the foundation, before the foundation of the world. And we read this as it continues on in the first verse of Genesis and throughout the Word of God. Well, was there a Son of God before the beginning? The answer, of course, is yes. He was with the Father before the foundation of the world. Once again, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, the Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And then in John 17:24 it says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus existed, or was, he was there in the creation of this world. He was there before the creation of this world. As the eternal Son of God, Christ had no beginning. The Bible clearly teaches that it was the Son who created all things. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 16 says this, Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, speaking of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And Dr. Henry Morris, in the King James Version Defender Study Bible, says this, The Son is the creator of all things. John 1, 1 through 3, Ephesians 3, 9, Colossians 1, 16. Here the scripture notes that Christ created space and time. He is creator of time as well as space and all things. The Greek word eon can be translated either ages in Ephesians 2, 7, or worlds in Hebrews 11, 3. It embraces the idea of time as well as space and matter, thus beautifully reflecting the scientific concept of the universe as a space-matter-time continuum. We didn't have to have Einstein to tell us about the relativity of matter and relativity of whatever, creation or whatever. All we have to do is look at the Word of God. And we can understand that it was by the Son of God that the worlds are, that the stars are, that everything that was created by him and for him. The many passages in the Bible that state God the Father sent his Son prior to his mission indicates Christ existed as the Son prior to his mission. In 1 John chapter 4, and verse 10, it says, Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 14, And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John was a witness to this. In John chapter 20 and verse 21, Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Galatians 4:4 says, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Christ was not created or came into being simply at his birth as a man, as a child on this earth. Christ, God, has always been. As the man, he came into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, John said, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He was the begotten Son of God before the foundation of the world. Christ was God's Son before he was given, as implied in John 3:16. It says there, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, not only do we see Jesus speaking of himself as the Son of God, we see in John chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, that Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. It says there in John chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus here was giving testimony of himself as one who came from heaven. He was to be crucified, lifted up, and that he would be back in heaven with God the Father. And then we see as the Son of Man, he is the heir of God, the Father's promises to man. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 says this, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." As the Son of Man, he is mediator between God and men. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." We don't have to go to someone in the church to confess sin, to ask forgiveness. We don't have to go to some man wearing a robe and confess sin and ask forgiveness. We need to go to the mediator himself. We need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. Ask him to make us fit for heaven by saying, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior." And once you've done that, the Bible says that that mediator, Jesus Christ, is there for those who have trusted him as Savior. He is the one we go to, not man, but Jesus Christ. We go to him in prayer, seeking God's face, seeking forgiveness. And finally, Jesus did not become the only begotten Son of God at the virgin birth, as some have intimated, referring to Psalm 2:7. Why is it so important that we understand that Jesus did not become the only begotten Son of God at the birth? Because we need to understand that he was before the virgin birth. He was before the foundation of the world. In Psalm 2:7 it says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." This verse is not speaking of his virgin birth. This verse is speaking of his resurrection. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5 it says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Acts 13:33 it says, "God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." That verse, Psalm 2:7, is speaking of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus did not come into existence as the only begotten Son of God at the virgin birth. We see this by reading Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25, Genesis 18, 2 through 5, and many other verses in the Word of God. Jesus Christ was God from eternity, the Creator of all things. Have you trusted him today as your Savior? He came into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. May I invite you today to receive Christ as your Savior. Until the next time, I'll be praying for you, and may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.